Today on Real Radio.
The Bible says, happy are a people whose God is the Lord. And if you look through history, you will see that the greatest nations that have ever lived in social benefits, in religious freedoms, in technology, in advancements, were kingdoms, were realms, were nations whose God is the Lord.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the Old Testament account of Jonah. Relatively speaking, Jonah is a small book, a short narrative. And yet, in these few short pages, it demonstrates how the hearts of men can be changed. It also shows the variety of ways our Almighty Maker orchestrates to bring this about. Well, today we begin a mini-series looking at the latter part of chapter 3, wherein we see that even the political leaders, from the top on down, were brought to their knees in repentance. Our teacher has quite appropriately called this study a change in government. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
Then, says the Bible, the word of the Lord came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid aside his robe and covered himself with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish? Then God saw their works, and they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Doesn't it go like this? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, right? With liberty and justice for all is how it goes. A declaration, an invitation that a nation would come and realize and know that it is under the watchful eye and the governing hand of God. The Bible says, happy are a people whose God is the Lord. And if you look through history, you will see that the greatest nations that have ever lived in social benefits, in religious freedoms, in technology, in advancements, were kingdoms, were realms, were nations whose God is the Lord. And it is a wonderful thing to realize that when we look to our portion of scripture this morning in seeing that Nineveh didn't start out that way. Nineveh was so wicked. The Assyrian Empire was so bad that we today would write it off. We would give up on it. In fact, if Nineveh, if Assyria was existing today, they would certainly be an enemy of the United States. Isn't it kind of interesting that the region where Assyria once was and Nineveh, today Mosul in Iraq, is yet again an enemy to the world? Interesting. So many nations afraid to speak out against what's going on there for fear of retribution or retaliation. Some 89 nations believing that something needs to be done with these ancient Assyrians. But what if God was to touch some of the Iraqi people? Not all of them are lunatics like Saddam, but what if God sent a message there? What if somehow a great fish was to vomit someone up on the shore, they would walk all the way 500 miles from the Mediterranean coastline to Mosul, Nineveh, and proclaim a message, and the Iraqis turn. Well, this morning, as we look to our study, we look at this one thing, considering our points before us. A change in government happens when God is in control. Will you write that down? When God is in control, governments change. It is God's will that governments be in existence. Did you know that? The Bible says that God establishes nations and he establishes countries and rulers and kings. The Bible commands us to pray for our presidents. Did you know that? Our kings or our rulers, our leaders. We are to be praying for the leaders of our land. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, the Bible says, therefore I exhort first of all that supplication, listen, prayers, intercessions, and the giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority over us, that we may, listen to what God's will is, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Isn't that good to know that God wants you and I to have a good life? How does God bring about a good life in our lives? He, listen, will answer the prayers of his people as they lift up the rulers and leaders of their land, of their area, of their country, of their states. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Wouldn't it be great if our president requested prayer? Wouldn't that be something?
Mr. President, I'm a Navy chaplain serving with Marines in 29 Palms, California. I am also honored to have you as my commander-in-chief.
Another question?
My question is very simple. How can we as pastors pray specifically for you and your family?
Well, first, thank you. I have, first of all, I believe in the power of prayer. And I have felt the prayers of the American people for me and my family. I have, and I want to thank all of you who've prayed. People say, well, how do you know? I say, well, I can just feel it. I can't describe it very well, but I feel comforted by the prayer. I think the thing that, the prayer that I would like America to ask for is to pray for God's protection for our land and our peoples, to pray against that there's a shield of protection so that if the evil ones try to hit us again, that we've done everything we can physically, and that there is a spiritual shield that protects the country. And
a spiritual shield. Here is a leader of the nation requesting, he said, and I quote, the American people to pray. This is what I'd ask them to pray for. That was a year ago here in Ontario. And I got an email just the other day of a friend of mine who has a friend who was in the Southeast Asia recently, and President Bush was there, and they woke up early, they got in line, and by the grace of God, they were put into a line that when the president was done speaking, he could walk by and shake hands. You've seen that line before, haven't you? And they were shaking hands, and this one Christian friend had their little boy dressed up rather nicely for that morning, and President Bush walked by, and he saw how good-looking that little boy was, and he said, well, thank you, son, for dressing up, and he shook that little boy's hand, and the parents said, you know, President, we're proud, and we're excited, and all this stuff, and as he began to walk away, the woman said, President Bush, we're praying for you, and he stopped and turned around and went backwards, which is not, that's against security rules. He went backwards back over to that mom and dad, and he said, listen, I heard what you said, and I'm asking you to pray. And the same prayer request was offered up. I have it in print. As I said, it was emailed to me. And he said, pray that God would produce a spiritual shield over America. This is a prayer request. And the Bible says that we ought to be praying. A change in government takes place when God is in control, not when our politicians are in control. Our politicians should be people who point to God and lean upon him. That's what happened with Nineveh. But we've lived in a culture now that has got to be, in a very perverse way, esteeming political correctness over theological accuracy. That we're not to involve God in our country. And I praise the Lord. I don't know how you vote. I don't care how you voted. It doesn't matter how I voted. God put that man in office, maybe, to ask us to pray that God would intervene. The king of Nineveh is going to pray. A wicked, ruthless, totalitarian leader is going to ask God to intervene. And listen, Nineveh is going to be changed. The Assyrian Empire will be changed. And for 150 years, prosperity and peace will characterize the Assyrian Empire from this chapter on. Can a nation turn? Can people be brought to a place where God is the one consulted? I rejoice in the age in which you and I live in. You want to know why? It's an evil time. It's a wicked age in which you and I live in. But if you know history, things get wicked and perverse and things get very bad. And by the way, if you look at the cycle, historians, the economy begins to plummet due to the wickedness. And then you begin to see that when God is turned towards and prayed to, and lives are given over to the control of God, and nations humble themselves before God, listen, among great moral resurgence, guess what happens? The economy picks up and people begin to experience a decrease in crime and people live in peace. This is the cycle of God when he's consulted and looked to. It's a great humbling thing for a king to require prayer and to request prayer. But it's the smartest thing that a ruler can do, is to ask a people and to seek God in prayer. What we see in this portion about a change in government in Nineveh is when God is in control, it determines what we hear. The power of a witness influences us. Did you know that? I think you know that. How many of you are Christians this morning because you watched someone or you heard someone speak to you about Christ? That means you didn't hear it on the radio, you didn't necessarily hear it at church. We would call it friendship evangelism. Some of us came to Christ because somebody witnessed and shared the love of God in real practical ways. It's not just the preaching of a sermon or a radio program. It's what we hear in action, the way we see people live. And I love what's taking place here. The king hears the word of Jonah. When it says in verse 6, the word came to the king of Nineveh. This is a remarkable moment. The king hears that there's a man walking in the city limits, within the city walls of Nineveh. He's yellow-skinned, remember? He's bald-headed. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, but it's quite alarming when it happens by the acids and the juices of a fish's belly, eating all the protein from Jonah's body, his skin bleached yellow or greenish tint. He's a Jew inside the walls of Nineveh. How'd he get there when they were just, you know, pickings for the Assyrians? A message is being proclaimed. He's got an attitude and he's got a message. Yet 40 days and Nineveh perishes. That's his message. Walking from street corner to street corner across a vast city, much like Los Angeles is today. L.A., as we talked about, proper, and then its suburbs in the greater Los Angeles area. Nineveh was not too much unlike the region in which you and I live in. There were tremendous amounts of cities that made up Nineveh to the extent that it was a 3 days journey around the city. And so Jonah's giving his word, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. What a message, huh? What the king hears changes his life forever. But you say, Pastor Jack, that's a doomsday message. It is, isn't it? I mean, come on, isn't it? 40 days and Nineveh perishes. Where's the mercy? Where's the grace? Where's the warm and fuzzy? I mean, come on. We can read books, you know, and it's got all this stuff, and they avoid all the things, really, because, you know, we're into church growth. You can't say this, you can't say that. Whatever you do, don't do this and don't do the other. Your church won't grow. Wait a minute. When Jonah gets done preaching an 8-word sermon, the entire city's converted. 700,000 people are estimated converted to God. And it flies in the face of church growth methods. Why? God doesn't care about church growth methods. God is concerned about church depth methods. And there's one method, and that's teaching and preaching the Word of God. There's no other substitute. Jonah delivers the word. You say, well, it's kind of fiery and brimstone-like. Yeah, I know, but it scared the Hades right out of them. Some people need to hear that. Some people come to Christ by hearing about God's love and forgiveness and grace and gentleness and kindness. The Bible says in the book of Romans, it's the goodness of God that leads a man to repentance. But if God's goodness doesn't get that man's repentance going, then God will often exercise an option that God retains. And what is it? He will oftentimes send difficult events to people's lives to get them to cry out. It's God's will that we come to Christ while we're standing and walking on our feet. If that doesn't work, God will try knocking us flat on our backs to get us to look up. And the people of Nineveh, they put into action what they had heard. And the question is for us today, what do we hear? It's important because what we hear produces a must-choose situation. I love, in these last days that you and I live in, everything is so gray, isn't it? At least people try to get us to think it's gray. Math is now gray. Did you know that? Well, 2 plus 2 is 4, but if you have 5, you know, you tried the new math. You know what? I've traveled a lot in the world, and I'm sorry if I offend anybody. But you know what? If you apply the new math rule in America to the German engineering of Mercedes or BMW or anything like that, would you buy one? If NASA used new math rules and put you in the space shuttle, would you get in? You know, the trajectory, kind of this way, kind of that. As long as we tried, we were shooting for the moon, but looks like we hit the sun. Oops, but we tried. We were sincere in our tabulations. It's so important. God's word goes out and it demands a must-choose situation, and people do not like this. God says, it's either me or it's over. And we go, no! We throw our toys down and say, I don't want to play that game. I want to have a rule that kind of is a foggy thing. I can kind of try this way. I can kind of try that way. You find God your way. I'll find God my way, and we'll all meet in the end. Oh, that's true. If you go to try to find it your own way, you will meet in the end. It may be a little bit warmer than you think. But God says it's this way. And who are we to fight against him? I mean, we can. We do. Hey, God, do it this way. Have you noticed he doesn't listen? He's not listening to us like that. God, I think you ought to pull it off this way. If I were God, you're not. And I'm not. And we are glad. He's the Lord. A change in government? Yes. Well, Pastor, that's a political start to a message. Wait a minute. A nation and how it lives and what it does is characterized by its people. Its people are the families. It's the fathers. It's the mothers. It's the kids. And a change of heart changes a family. It changes a city. It changes a county. It changes a nation. By the preaching of one man's message, an entire nation was changed. That's an amazing thing. It's even greater if we believe it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1, it says, we then, Paul is speaking, as workers together with Christ, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. And in other words, don't give up on the invitation to come and be saved. For he says, in acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And behold, don't you hate when people pressure you like that? Maybe you're a Christian here this morning and you would agree with me. Yeah, I hate when people pressure me. Listen, nobody likes pressure. But let me say this, that if somebody is praying for you and urging you and they bribed you to come to church today, I'll take you to breakfast after church. And you've come and you're just thinking, you know, man, when when John said he's going to be teaching for 55 minutes, I got to be hungry that much longer? Well, listen, there is a sense of urgency regarding spiritual matters. Don't delay. What if Nineveh would have delayed? What if the king would have went, oh, ho-hum, I'm the king. They're a bunch of peasants. They're all crying and fasting and weeping and howling. But I'm the king. I got to put on the political face. I got to put on the strong face. I'm not going to listen. Isn't it amazing that it's the king who makes the declaration, as we shall see? Would to God that we would have leaders that are godly people. You say, yes, amen to that. Well, you don't become godly when you get voted president. By the grace of God, perhaps, whatever our pursuit might be in politics, be godly and let the Lord promote you. Have that foundation laid first. Don't get religious because you're running for office. Nobody will ever respect you for that. Give your heart to God. Maybe God will turn this nation around. What if God turned California around? What if God turned this county around? Say, well, that would be great, Pastor, but it happened with Jonah. It can happen with us. It happened in New York City in 1857. Did you know that a revival broke out in America in 1857? And it was estimated that each month in 1857, that each month so much preaching was taking place and so many people being converted in New York City, that they estimated that 50,000 people a month were making decisions for Christ in New York City in 1857. And by the end of the year, in 12 months, 1 million people in New York City got saved. Did you know something? Are you aware of this? That in 1858, the creation of the police officers, what's it called when they stand on the street corner and sing? What are those guys called? Like a quartet thing? The policemen didn't have anything to do in New York. And they began to sing on street corners, the cops, because crime had plummeted in New York City in 1857 and 1858. If it happened in New York, it can happen here. It can happen anywhere.
And that's just one of the lessons we can learn from Jonah and his assignment. Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, reminding us that true revival can occur in the most unlikeliest of places and times in history. Now, this is just the first part of a mini-series taken from Jonah chapter 3. It's called A Change in Government, part of our teacher's series through this Old Testament narrative of Jonah. We'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Remember, though, you can hear this fascinating series anytime and as often as you want, simply by obtaining your own edition in an 11-CD package. Because the lessons learned in Jonah really apply to everyone, including you and me, we're making it easy for you to obtain this audio series for your own review and personal study. Here's how it works. For your gift of any amount to Real Radio, we'll send it out to you. Your donation, large or small, goes toward covering the costs generated in bringing you this program Monday through Friday, and it's all tax deductible. You can call, click, or write. Just be sure and mention the title, simply Jonah. In fact, you can pay us a visit at realradioactive.org, and right there on the front page, read all about it under the banner Special Offer. That's www.realradioactive.org. Now, if you'd like to give us a call, use our new toll-free number, 877-RR-RADIO. That's quite easy to remember, 877-RR-RADIO. If you prefer, you may also write to us. Send in your donation to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Just be sure and mention the title of the CD series, Jonah. Of course, any details you may have missed can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio is a broadcast outreach of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. Till next time, We at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.